Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of the CSW Free to Believe podcast series. My name is Sam Jackson Reed. I'm the digital communications coordinator for CSW and the producer of this podcast. Firstly, at the top of the episode, just want to say apologies. We've been a little bit late with our episodes. We've had some scheduling things going on with our North Korea series, but we will be coming back with that hopefully next week. In the meantime, you may have seen that there is an increased degree of media attention going on, particularly around Sudan at the moment. And so what we wanted to do off the back of having recently done a series on Sudan is just take a moment to come back in and give people an update on what's going on and what we can do about it. So I'm joined once again by Mohanad Elnoor. Mohanad, it's so great to have you here with us again.
It's a pleasure. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you for joining us. Well, let's jump straight in. Could you give us an update? Where are things at with the conflict? What are the kind of broad headlines? But then specifically, people will be seeing a lot about the city of Al-Fasher. So maybe you could give us a little bit of context and give us an update on what's been going on.
Well, thank you so much, Sam. No one thought this war was continue for more than 2 years and a half. When the war started, everyone was saying 2 weeks, 3 weeks, but now it's 2 years and a half. And I believe this Cold War will continue as long as those who are fueling the war continue. The situation is really, really terrible now. It's far worse than the clips, videos we have seen recently from Darfur in Al-Fasher. Al-Fasher was the last standing city in the whole region of Darfur, the region, a region that the size of Spain. So that was the last standing city. And because of Al-Fasher, the army managed to free some northern states, including the capital, in March 2025. Everyone knew what would unfold if the RSF took Al-Fasher. But the army allowed the RSF fighters to leave Khartoum peacefully, heading to Darfur. Still, Darfur stood, Al-Fasher stood for like about 7 months. And then, unfortunately, it falls. And
there was a siege, if I'm correct. It was a kind of almost a situation for those 7 months.
Yes, a siege for 18 months, not only 7 months, 18 months under siege. People were eating the animal feed and animal's skin after they ran out of food. Situation was really terrible. And during this 18 months, the rebel support forces had been committing war crimes, serious crimes like bombing churches and mosques where people are sheltering, And those who tried to flee, they were stopped, raped, gang-raped, looted, tortured, and inhumanly treated. So after the fall of Al-Fasher, as I said, everyone knew this would be a repetition of the atrocities happened in 2003. When the RSF and the army both together committed genocide, war crimes, and crimes against humanity. And that's exactly what happened and what's happening now. In the first 3 days, more than 6,000 civilians have been killed. Only 3 days. The city of Al-Fasher was the last city for those from African descent. And the RSF is racially motivated. They define themselves as Arab, and they see those in Al-Fasher as like African, and they treat them as animal, as they said. And the immunity encouraged them to even record these horrific crimes, which amount to war crimes and crimes against humanity. All the videos, the horrific videos and footage we have been watching, recorded by the perpetrators themselves. So imagine how the situation if we have a genuine reporter from inside the Al-Fasher and other surrounding city. So the situation is really bad. And what is really alarming is the RSF now is advancing in other cities. They took also a city in northern Kordofan called Bara, a very strategic city. It's only 60 kilometers from the capital of the northern Kordofan, Al-Obaid. And according to some news, they try to advance their military operation to the northern state. So it's a really, really terrible situation. While the army is just watching, doing nothing, the army and the international community both knew what would happen, but no one acted, no one moved to protect this innocent people.
So there seems to be, so just to clarify something that you said just a moment ago, that the SAF, the Sudanese Armed Forces, essentially allowed the RSF to move towards El Fasher and essentially take it. And there seems to be these cycles or these mirroring of acts that have happened in the past as well. And there seems to genuinely just be impunity, essentially, for the RSF, the SAF, to do whatever they want. And we spoke about this in the series, didn't we, of this is a war between two generals. It's a power play between two individuals who are using an entire nation as their battleground. And it seems, there is a complete lack of accountability in what's going on across the country.
Yes, exactly, you're right. And this is the Sudanese war defined as the war on civilian. The civilians who are paying the heavy price of this war. And it's also the forgotten war. That's why I really appreciated your work in shedding light on these atrocities. Nowadays, there is some news, Sudan in the head, news for in the result of what happened in El Fasher. But these atrocities, these crimes have been committing over 2 years and a half, even more. And no one paid attention to what's going on in Sudan. And as you said, the army allowed them to leave. And again, the SAF, when they took Al Fashir, they allowed the army, the seniors of the army, to leave peacefully and drop the civilians. And the head of the army said publicly, we agreed for the officers, the army officers, to leave into a heaven, to a safe place. Why leaving the civilians? To be killed, raped, tortured, and inhumanly treated.
It's terrible. Do you feel like there is an increase in attention on Sudan, or is it quite small still?
I think there is increase, but not the increase that you would expect to like the reaction for like possibly genocide again. This is the same region that two decades ago was a genocide in this region, and the reaction is really different. More than two decades ago, the whole media, the whole world was talking about the genocide there, and there was a really, really strong campaign. This time we see, yes, here and there, and hopefully this will continue. This will not be just like one show off, just to justify that we covered Sudan, and that's it. I hope this will continue, and we need just to shed light on the atrocities and the crimes are committing in Sudan.
Because it is important, isn't it? There is, it's not just making noise for the sake of making noise. Actually, raising awareness is a really fundamental part of seeing change, because it puts pressure, doesn't it? It brings things to light, and we hope, therefore, can produce accountability, can produce transformation and change, and all of those sorts of things. And in our line of work at CSW, we look to see the international community hopefully moving and shifting and bringing about some of that change. How are you seeing the international community respond? And what would you like to see, I suppose, in their response as well?
Well, first of all, I would like to say what is happening in El Fasher is the responsibility of the international community, alongside, of course, the army. We remember that the EU and the UK gave the RSF militia what amount like 2,000,019 euros in 2014 and 2015 in what called Khartoum process, and that was to protect the Europe from migrants, and that enhanced the RSF. We at the time we told them, don't give them this money, this will end up killing us, and no one listened. And we told them this won't stop migrants from coming to Europe. This will force other civilians, other people to leave, whatever the cause is. And no one listened. It's also important to say that after the 2019 revolution, Sudanese civilians led peaceful revolution. Everyone remember that. But then the Russian community forced the civilians to share power with the army, even though everybody knew the army is red-handed. But we still see the action is very, very slow. One of the main thing the international community must do, and this is beyond our Sudanese, beyond the Sudanese capacity, is to stop those countries who are fueling the war, like the United Arab Emirates. United Arab Emirates, there is a genuine report, even from the UN Security Council, that the United Arab Emirates support the RSF militia. Yet, the international community, the UK, the US, the European Union, deal with the UAE as nothing is happening. There is an arms embargo resolution from the UN Security Council. The UAE and those countries do not respect this resolution. And they still sell weapon to the RSF. Just last week or 10 days ago, the Guardian revealed the report that a UK-made weapon was found in the hand of RSF. So the UK-made weapon is using to kill us and to commit the genocide, and still no one acted. There is some efforts to bring both together, the Sahel and RSF, and this is leading by the Quad, the United Arab Emirates, the Saudi, Egypt, and the United States. And I should say here, three of these countries have direct interest in the war in Sudan: the UAE, Saudi, and Egypt. UAE support RSF, Saudi and Egypt support the army. The USL also has interest, and no country, these three countries, won't act without permission from the USA. Still, there is nothing really on the scene. Even the UN reaction is not really as we would like to see. The General Secretary, for example, said a couple of months ago that there is the condition to send a peacekeeping mission in Sudan are not yet met. So it's a bit weird. If this condition are not yet met, so what else? I'm not saying that we need and we should bring a peacekeeping mission, but some tools should be used to stop this Philippines from killing us. So yeah, the Russian community has a role to play, and I hope they will take this seriously, not to watch another genocide in the same region. But the good news is the ICC, which has a very limited jurisdiction only in Darfur region, started investigating.
Just quickly, man, just to say the ICC, the International Criminal Court, just for listeners who maybe don't know that. But yeah, ICC.
The International Criminal Court has a very limited jurisdiction only in Darfur region, even though there are serious crimes committed all over Sudan. But the good news is the International Criminal Court promised to start investigation in Al Fashir, which is something really good. There was also a good decision from the International Criminal Court last October. One of the Janjaweed leader, Ali Khosheb, Janjaweed also is the RSF, so it was Janjaweed and then RSF, just for the listeners, was found guilty of 27 crimes, constituting war crimes and crimes against humanity that he committed 2 decades ago. And this gave us hope that justice could be seen. And I see some people see it's too late, blah, blah. But in reality, the IDBs, who have been displaced for more than 2 decades, celebrated this decision. They marched in 1,000 and therefore celebrating this decision as the crimes committed against them was yesterday. So I think this is something we need to enhance, and we need to extend the jurisdiction of the ICC and encourage the ICC to investigate more crimes. Also, positive step in accountability is the UN fact-finding mission, which is doing a really good job in documenting the crimes, released good reports. There is also the African fact-finding mission. It released this first report just a couple of weeks ago. Very thorough, strong, good reports. So we need to enhance this mechanism. And one day we'll see justice. One day we'll see these perpetrators hold to account.
So it's it's so complex. And I think this is the reality, isn't it, of human rights work. This is the reality of advocating for change in situations of remarkable suffering, isn't it? It's not just local. It's not just Sudan sorting out Sudan. There's the UAE involved, there's Saudi, there's the UN, there's the US, there's the UK. We're all connected in some way, shape or form. And even as I sit here, I'm thinking, you know, I've got friends who've traveled to the UAE, or I have friends who watch Man City Football Club, and that's owned by Sheikh Mansour, who's part of the UAE, that actually these things are not far away from us if we think about it for a moment. But they are it's complex. The conflict in Sudan is so complex. And there is much more that the international community can be doing, should be doing, should have the courage to do. At the same time, yes, fact-finding missions, the ICC, those things are steps in the right direction. I think it's encouraging to hear, and actually should embolden us and encourage us, you know, to hear that ICC ruling about the Janjaweed leader was being celebrated by internally displaced people in Darfur. We should join in with that celebration, because justice is done, you know, or justice is on its way. Accountability can be had. But it is so complex. And you were recently interviewed by Premier Radio, and they sort of said, we can feel powerless. And that's true. But what did you say in reply? I really loved your response.
Yeah. It wasn't really not powerless. Just interviewing someone from the country and spreading the word and awareness is a very strong message. And as you just said, we have friends, we have families, we have many people. They don't have any idea about what's going on. Now they know. I'll give you a very weird example. In Sudan, in 2003, when was a genocide committed against people in Darfur, people in the north had no idea what was going on. Even though the West was really talking and campaigning for this. And now after the RSF crimes, the recent crimes, people from the north said, oh, we are sorry, we didn't know what was going on in Darfur, and now we see. And those who can't listen, they must feel. So everyone felt the pain that Darfur people had been going through for decades. That's why now no one could say, I didn't know. Anyone listening to us now, no. And anyone listening to us has a role to play. If you are going to UAE, don't go to the United Arab Emirates. This fueling war in Sudan, supporting genocide and war crimes. Also, and it's going to be a bit weird, but to say, don't drink cola. You know why? Sudan produces 80% from the global supply of the Arabic gum. Arabic gum is essential for cola. And this Arabic gum is still smuggled through neighboring countries like Chad, like Egypt. And this is full of our blood. You are drinking our blood, children, women, and innocent civilian people. As you said, Sheikh Mansour, he's the second person in the UAE. He's the most strongest man, and he's in the forefront. He's a close friend to Mohammed Hamdan Dagalo, known as Himiti, the leader of the RSF. And he's the one who's directly responsible for supporting and fueling the war in Sudan. So do something, write to the Man City, write to the Premier League, because you can't have someone like this on one of the greatest football clubs in the country, and also has many other clubs around the world, while his hand are full of blood, full of our innocent blood. So everyone listening to us is not powerless. Everyone listening to us has a role to play. And together, we can change and we can help people in Sudan and elsewhere.
Absolutely. I think that's so encouraging and challenging. I think we need to hear that. And just also to encourage people, we recently saw, it was an awful, awful image of a man being led away by the RSF, and we're reasonably sure he was being led away to being killed. But he was wearing a football shirt You'll have to remind me of who the
Ousmane Dembele.
There you go. Say that one more time for me.
Ousmane Dembele, the great Paris Saint-Germain and the winner of the
Ballon d'Or.
Ballon d'Or.
Yes. So the recent winner, the winner of the Ballon d'Or, he was wearing a shirt, and we at CSW, alongside many, many other people, sent out a tweet and said, "Look, this man is wearing your shirt. Was a fan. This is what's going on in Sudan." And to be fair, he tweeted, you know, "Free Sudan, hashtag Free Sudan." And then Jurgen Klopp, the ex-manager of Liverpool, did the same thing not too long after. And I'm a bit of a lurker in the comments of things. Partly it's my job. I always end up reading the comments. But one of the comments was somebody saying, "I'm from Africa." They didn't say where in Africa, but "I'm from Africa and I didn't know this was going on." And they're reaching thousands and thousands of people. And that is powerful. It is important. It's obviously not the only thing. You know, there is more that people can, there are stronger actions that people can take. But even me writing on my Instagram or my social media and saying this is what is going on is like, you know, small rocks that make an avalanche. And if we can all take that responsibility just to even communicate this is what's going on, and then from our perspective we're trying to educate and activate people to know there are steps that you can take, like you said, Arabic gum, it's in chewing gum, it's in loads of different things. Are there stronger steps that you can take? You know, not traveling to the UAE, not drinking Coke, boycotting Dubai chocolate is a really big thing at the moment. Actually deciding I'm not going to, because there are tangible through lines from those trade things to what's happening in Sudan. And we can, as individuals and as communities, stand up and say, no, we're not going to stand by and let that happen. So we're not powerless. That's such a good message. Yeah, thank you.
Not powerless at all. And I'm really glad that this campaign reached many, many, many arenas, like football players, which is really, really good, fascinating. Everyone knows now, at least like many people know through your this interview or other media outlet. I think this is really, really great and good message. And also, I would like just to say that someone might ask, why the UAE is supporting the rebel support forces? What are they getting from that? Well, they get gold, the Sudanese gold floods the UAE market. So Sudan is a very rich country of minerals, gold, livestock, lands, Arabic gum. Sudan is a very, very rich country. So the UAE now will smuggle most of our gold to the UAE. And also UAE is interested in our land. We have a big land. We are a small nation. Sudan was the biggest country in Africa before the independence of South Sudan in 2011. Now it's the third the third in Africa. And we are like 36 million the population. So we have a huge land. We have the Red Sea. We have the Nile. Two Niles. So it's a very rich country. And Sudanese people are very lovely people. Someone should go one day to Sudan when the war stopped. Very lovely people, very generous people. The weather is really, really warm, warmer than people from the West can handle. But it's lovely. It's lovely, lovely country, lovely people. And we don't deserve that, honestly. No one deserves that. No one should go through what we are going on now. And that's why your solidarity, your voice is really, really, really powerful.
I think that's such a great place for us to end on, is, you know, a picture of who Sudanese people are. I think that's really important, isn't it? It's easy for us to think in facts and figures and numbers and statistics and demographics, but actually we're talking about human people with culture and lives and families and friends, and you know, all of that stuff is really important for us to hold in the front of our minds and to allow that to move us to that action, you know, to go, like you said, no one deserves this. There is no good reason for anybody to have to go through what the Sudanese people are going. There is no justification for it. And we're going to stand up and communicate that as loudly as we possibly can. Mahanad, thank you so much for joining me for this brief but powerful conversation. Yeah, if people are interested in and they have questions, please do reach out to us. The best way to reach out to us is on Facebook or on Instagram. It's just to send us a direct message and ask your question there, and I can pass it on to Mahanad and we'll get it answered for you as well. But thank you so much for listening. Please continue to pray. Please continue to advocate. Please continue to campaign for the people of Sudan and stand up and raise awareness with us. Please share this podcast. It may seem like a small thing, but just one more person finding out about what's going on and what they can do to help is important. It does make a difference. So thanks so much for listening, and we will see you on the next episode. Goodbye. Thank you for listening to the CSW Free to Believe podcast. CSW is a Christian human rights organization advocating for freedom of religion or belief. As Christians, we stand with everyone facing injustice because of their religion or belief. Our work, including this podcast, exists because of the generosity of our supporters just like you. If you're interested in finding out more or making a donation, go to csw.org.uk.